Hey, mommy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How was group?
Good. Another one of my friends is leaving.
Okay. And how was dinner?
Good. I'm good.
Good. Hey, can I? This might be a good time to tell you something.
Okay.
You have extraordinarily good social skills. You make friends easily. You are not awkward.
I don't feel that way, but thank you.
Can you see it objectively, though?
Understand that it's kind of like I've learned a behavior that's unnatural to me.
You understand that you do the behavior effortlessly?
No.
You just do. You see a person and you think, I want them to think I'm friendly. And then you do all the things that a human is supposed to do to make somebody think that they're friendly.
Well, I feel like I messed it up a lot. I feel like it's not super natural, but I do agree that I'm much better at it than I used to be.
I don't think I said that.
You said that I'm good at it.
Yeah. I didn't say better than you used to be.
You don't think I'm better at it than I used to be?
Don't know. I mean, if you're comparing it to like middle school or something, everybody's awkward in middle school.
No, I'm better
But if
at
you're
it
just talking,
than in college. I'm better at it than when I started at Fidelity. Just gotten better at it.
well, that's, I mean, I do think that's everybody.
Okay.
I don't think you're at a deficit to the general population or ever were.
Thanks.
Yeah. I just thought you might be able to see that at Honey Lake specifically, like.
Mean, I made friends here, but I made friends with some outgoing people that helped me make other friends, and it's a lot more difficult now.
So Megan's kind of right. This having me make decisions for you is not a super healthy thing. It kind of continues a pattern of setting me up to be able to blame everything on me. I don't know if you see that in our history.
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah. Did you talk
You
to
do see that
Megan?
in our. No. No, I'm sorry. Did I misinterpret what you said about her?
I don't remember.
Do you think that I went too far with it, with what I just said? Not super healthy?
I mean, I agree with you, and I think that Megan would say that that's unhealthy, but I don't remember characterizing it to me in that context.
Okay. So we all see it. Right.
I'm not sure if she has that thought, but I understand what you're getting at, and I think that if it was explained to her, she would probably agree with that.
Well, there's a lot of ways to see it as unhealthy. You can see it as unhealthy because clearly Dustin has nothing to live for except for Aaron, and that's, you know, that in and of itself is problematic because,
I
know, you know what I mean?
She would agree with that.
Huh?
I know that she believes that.
Yeah, so that's number one. But then another way to look at it is the history of you blaming everything on me and not taking blame for the way things turn out. Do you see that one?
I guess it depends on what you mean by that. I feel like I've owned everything now, but I did not do that earlier on.
Well, I mean, we've been together almost 18 years now. So if you're saying that you've started owning everything in the last like 3 weeks, I'm talking about historically.
Okay. Sure, I can understand that.
So it's a little bit of, just in terms of like, and I wouldn't even say 3 weeks. I would say maybe we're hitting 24 hours now. So you know what I'm saying? Like 3 months from now, you could, who knows, be back to all the old behaviors and really damaging our family. And I say, I can't do this anymore. And then you'll say that whatever my scenario was, the whole thing was a setup, you know. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Am I off or am I like...
I'm not trying to do that.
Right, but can you see that in terms of, like, historically and...
I understand that you're worried about it, yes.
I'm saying, can you see that as a past behavior?
Yes.
Okay. Are you saying that you don't feel like that's possible anymore?
I don't think so. What would you like to have happen?
I don't know. I guess I don't.
That if you were legitimately choosing, then
I think that choosing. I think that you're setting me up to look like I said I want to tell you where to live because that's what you're having trouble deciding on your own right now. God. and like the I know, but you're making it sound to other people like that's what I want. Like I want to decide where you're going to live. And that is
told me that you
probably
decide all of our decisions.
No. I was quoting Ted, who was probably tongue-in-cheek when he said, you want to be a family with your wife? Well, fine. Don't ever argue with her and don't ever have an opinion about anything again. Like, he said that he told you that. And I was going along with what he said, but sorry?
Huh?
Were you saying something?
No.
Oh. Anyways, I think the last thing that I want is to dictate where you're going to live. Because what it does, it obscures the fact that through your reckless investments, your reckless work habits, and your reckless decision making, and your reckless abuse of your wife, now the situation is this. You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that if you come live at Stanley Drive, I'm going to move out. That's not my fault. That's the scenario you created. The fact that if you boot somebody out of one of our rentals, then we can't make ends meet. Like, that's not my fault. That's a scenario that you created. The fact that you can't afford a rental somewhere else, that's not my fault. That's a scenario you created. The fact that it probably wouldn't be healthy for you to go live in Maryland with your mom, that's not my fault. You know what I mean? Dustin? I don't know if you know, are understanding what I'm saying. So it's just, I feel like it's a little bit problematic for me to now be the one who has to come up with a solution. Because whatever solution I come up with, you get to present to the world as, this is what my wife told me to do. And I'm so amazing. I will do anything my wife tells me to do. And now I have to go live here because my wife told me to. And look at what a martyr I am to go and do what my wife is telling me to do. When really any suggestion I make at this point is salvaging a really, really, really bad situation. Which I think it would have been good and healthy for you to kind of figure out on your own.
You called me and said that you wanted to make all of our decisions, and that was the only way for us to try and make our marriage work.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about this, though. I was talking about, like, for example, let's say, hypothetically, you know, I get home from summer vacation and I say, you had an emotional affair. I don't want you to go to Cleo's tomorrow for lunch. You wouldn't go to Cleo's the next day for lunch. Or if you obstinately continued to do that and in front of my face made a coffee for somebody you love more than me, and other people said this is really unhealthy your husband needs to quit his job, and I came to you and I said, I need you to quit your job, turn in your 2 week, you would turn in your 2 week. Or if I said to you, we are really, really offended by the smell of your cigar smoke, I really need you to quit smoking cigars, you would quit smoking cigars. That's the kind of stuff I meant. And at this point, it would also, it would be more than that. It'd have to be stuff like you can't just spend money because we actually don't have any money. And you're, I don't know, going to have to, I don't know what we'll do, whether you're going to have an allowance or you're going to have to come to me and ask me to make purchases for you until we pay off the credit card debt. That was what I meant. I didn't mean that I'm going to figure out where you're going to live for you. You know what I mean? Are you okay? What?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just a little... What?
I appreciate you, and I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now, and I probably can't talk very much.
Okay. Is it because of your anxiety about where you're going to sleep next week?
I don't know.
Is it because I'm hurting your feelings? Is it because I'm not giving you a good solution?
I don't know.
Are you saying that you now, like, have bad feelings, but you can't tell what's causing them?
Bad feelings?
You said you were overwhelmed and you couldn't talk. But, like, I'm trying to figure out what's upsetting you so that I can avoid it or subvert it, but you can't tell me what is bothering you?
I don't know. I'm on the edge of losing my mind, and everybody here knows it. I just can't do this. Sorry.
I mean,
I'm not saying that you have to do it. I just can't do this. I just can't.
You're saying that it's okay if I tell you to live, and it's okay if I don't tell you where to live.
Right.
But it's not okay to talk about the factors that make that a healthy or not healthy dynamic.
I don't know any. I think it's stressful for me because I'm not in a place where I can figure this out, and now I'm going to have to ask my mom to figure it out. I feel like no matter what she chooses, you're going to be upset about it, and I'm not going to be able to do anything else, or I'm just going to end up in the hospital.
Well, I don't, yeah. I guess
that means
I
have to do something for me. I'm just saying that to.
I don't mind doing it, but I think, like, if I make a suggestion, like, you can't just say, oh, I'm in such a bad place that I have to do what you decided for me. Because I don't think that that's healthy. I don't think that's okay. I think that definitely, like, crosses a boundary that spouses should not cross. Because you need to be thinking at the same time. Because
I don't think that I can think. I don't.
Again, the problem is that I don't think everybody has a real understanding. I don't think anybody has a real understanding of the entire situation. Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe I need to try and extend another week here. Hopefully get my results from Dr. Kraut.
I think that you're putting a lot of stock in those results.
I'm just looking for something to fix. Something to help me.
I know, but you've already known what you need to fix, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like you think I'm wrong or something.
Let me ask you this. Are you at a point where you're willing to quit your job?
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I feel bad that they've supported me while I'm here. I just walk out. But...
Right, but who are you actually needing to care for and serve at this point?
You.
I think when you remade Julie's coffee, you had a problem with worrying more about pleasing somebody at American Classic than about caring for your family.
You're right.
So I don't know if that part has changed yet.
It has.
Okay. Because the only thing that I have come up with at this point is that you could go to Set Free by the Sea.
If I tell them that here, they're going to send me to a hospital and commit me.
Like, what do you think that they would think is a good option for you?
I think they think that I should live in one of our houses. I think that we tried to find an apartment that would be comparably priced and couldn't.
So they think that you should be alone.
I mean, I don't know about that. I think they were hoping by the time I got out of here, I'd be in a better place, which is why I'm saying they may not let me out of here.
I know, I'm just saying, objectively, do you think that you should be alone?
I honestly don't know, honey.
Living in a nice area of a resort island. Not able to cover your expenses every month with the majority of your payments going to service credit card debt. I don't really understand about the looking for apartments thing. I mean, there's 100 apartments under $1,000 in Jacksonville. Most of them you can move into this week. I don't really get the problem with finding an apartment if your mom's paying for it. Has your mom been talking to them? Then I just don't see how you get there if you know how to do adding and subtracting. And if you know that you're suicidal.
Can't be institutionalized forever, Aaron. They realize that I'm the only person working in our family. I've got to get back to my life.
Who told you that?
Who told me what?
Who told you that you had to get back to work?
Everybody knows that. Don't.
Who told you that?
Me, Megan, Ted, everybody knows that I can't stay here forever.
Oh, I know. That was why I was offering you set free. Ted gave me the impression that he thought that you needed a lot more than 30 days. And it's just unfortunate that the price point at Honey Lake is such that nobody can stay for 6 months. But I don't know if they would support set free because it's not like medical, like they just preach Jesus, which is why like it can't be me telling you to do it,
Oh, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody just fell down really bad. Yeah. No, I'm glad you're okay. I really don't know what to say, honey, except that I'm losing my mind and I'm gonna need somebody to help me. And I think that I don't even know. Seems like if Ted thinks that I need to stay here and I have the ability to stay here, then maybe I should stay.
Yeah, but another week. Then what?
Then maybe I'll get my mind back.
But, I mean, I don't know what you mean by get my mind back. You want to go back to being an abuser?
Oh. Are you going to try and talk to Megan?
I did. I left her two voicemails and one email.
Okay.
Which means that she probably thinks I'm trying to interfere. I mean, have you used the word abuse with her?
Yeah. I don't talk to her very much, though, but...
Right. I'm just saying, like, did you like, say, like, I've been abusive to my wife. It's been going on in various forms.
No, I did not.
Ever since we were dating. So, I mean, how did you say it?
I don't know, honey.
Did you say, she says I'm abusive and I don't know what she's talking about?
I might have said that at some point.
Which is what you told Sean Gossett whenever you would go to, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or wherever with him? You remember?
Not really, but...
Oh. I figured out, Dustin, that there were a lot of times that you were going to meet with Sean that something
Chick-fil-A?
Insanely... Where did you go with Sean and Matt Adams? And
Chick-fil-A.
Kevin Law? Chick-fil-A? Yeah. Like, insanely deranged, abusive, dysfunctional behavior happened. And we had two little kids, and I was pregnant, which was a total, like, nightmare. And I would say to you, did you tell Sean what happened last night? And you'd say, I don't remember. I think so. And he'd be like, no, did you tell him? And you're like, yes, I definitely told him.
Okay.
I've figured out that was not true recently. And I figured out that when we went over to Sean's house, that whole conversation, I was stupidly assuming that he knew all that stuff. And he didn't. All he knew was how much you loved me and how good you were to me and how I always said that you were verbally abusive. And that's why they thought that I was just really sensitive. Anyways, there's a big difference between my wife says I'm abusive and I don't know what she's talking about, and I've actually been abusing my wife for a really long time and going to extreme lengths to cover it up. And when people caught me in the act, I denied it.
I'm trying to get Megan to talk to you.
Yeah. Don't you think that you're just setting me up, though, to look like I'm making all of this up?
You're cutting out.
Don't you think that by doing that, you're really, like, setting the stage to make me look like I'm making this all up or trying to frame you?
No.
It seems like you sound really codependent to her, like when you talk to her.
Codependent on you?
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm an abuser and I get off on bossing you around and gaslighting you into thinking that you're crazy, and that's how I get power and control over you. But I've got you so good that you're like a puppy dog who will do anything for me because you love me. You don't think that's how it looks to her?
I think that's how it looks to her, and I need you to unmask me so that I can get help, I guess.
But I'm saying, like, why can't you tell her yourself? I don't either. But by telling her that I have to be the one to tell you because you don't see it, you're setting me up to look like I'm making it up. If you just tell her yourself, then it'd be a lot more clear. You feel like you can't?
No, honey, I've been here for a month, over a month.
Well, I know, but you can change. Like, you can show that you can change.
I've tried to tell them our whole story. I don't know.
Right.
All because I don't get as much time as I would like with them, but...
I know, but if the story doesn't include, like, I've abused my wife, if it includes, I just can't see it, I just can't see it, I just can't see it, like, those are two different stories, and you're choosing which one to tell. All right, so you think that they think that we should just be essentially filing bankruptcy?
What?
I just don't understand the idea of you living in a house you can't afford. Or you're saying that they like the idea of your mom paying us rent?
Yes, they like that idea.
Did you tell them what your mom does?
Yes.
Did you tell them that she gets really giddy about divorces?
Yeah.
Did you tell them that you don't know how, but she's gonna hurt your wife with this arrangement?
I don't think so.
You just presented it as though that's what I think is gonna happen? So why do they think that you're not going to move into one of our rentals?
Because you're not okay with it.
But seriously, like, did you tell them how much it costs? I don't get it. There are rentals all over Jack's for under $1,000. Did you look yourself?
For my mother to pay for it, we looked during my therapy session, and if I move into our rentals, then I'm not subject to a lease, so if we end up getting back together, we can actually do it. It's closer to our children. It gives me the opportunity to fix up whichever one we're in if it needs it.
Did they know anything about what happens when you fix something up?
Well,
pretty...
I'm trying to get involved in a project.
I know, but are you really capable of avoiding getting involved in a project? That's like a giant. That's huge, Dustin. That's huge. That is like, just think how long that thing has been going on and owning you. Like, do they know?
Doing industrial construction for a year now.
That's got nothing to do with it, Dust. I've not known what you're spending all the money at Lowe's for a year now.
What?
For a year now, you just keep spending money at Lowe's. I don't know why. But I know we didn't have any of it, and I know it's costing way more now. Do you know?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
What was it?
What? What was that?
What you spent all the money at Lowe's for?
No, I don't know.
Huh?
No, I don't know.
And that's like without an actual project going on that you should be spending money at Lowe's for. I just can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine.
Money at Lowe's for nothing, so I don't remember what it was for, but it wasn't.
It wasn't for one of our properties.
Oh. Did you send a check for the plumbing?
No.
I think it makes more sense to me to live close to our children in our home without a lease.
Justin, have you explained to the people at Honey Lake why I've had to go out of my way to drive away from our house 15 minutes before you're expected to pick up my kids? And my mom has to come to our house to be with the kids when you're picking them up?
No, honey, I don't understand.
And then
I
have to drive away from our house 15 minutes before you're expected to bring them back, and my mom has to come be here with them until you leave.
No, I didn't tell them why because I don't understand why.
That's not true, though.
You need to help me.
That's not true. That's not, none of this is true. You know that you were being really, really, really aggressive, and you were being really unkind and really inconsiderate of what kinds of things the children were hearing and seeing. You know that you came over to Kevin and Brianna's house after, like, the first
time to our children.
The first time that you kept the kids overnight, you brought them to Kevin and Brianna's house the next day. Sam was wandering around the front yard in a daze, and Brianna went to check on him, and he was so sad, and he said, it was so sad. We had to wait all morning while Daddy cleaned his truck. The first time that you had the kids over here, overnight, Sam wandered around the yard in a daze, and when Brianna said, how you doing, buddy? He said, I'm so sad. We had to wait all morning while Dad cleaned out his truck. And then you came in, and you shamed me. You shamed me for putting our kids in public school, and you told me that I had to talk to you about it, and that I wasn't co-parenting well, and that we had a responsibility to discuss these things. And your tone and all of that, it was not kind like I'm being right now. It was short, and it was judgmental, and it was ugly, and it was definitely threatening and very scary. And you've become all too comfortable speaking to me that way because it yields results. And you want to say to me, speaking the truth isn't ugly. I know, Dustin, I know that you know how to not get arrested. I know that you know how to get away with being threatening. I know that you know how to control me and make the words be ones that you could write down on paper and not get in trouble for. I know that, but now other people have seen it. Kevin was blown away. It was really scary. It was really creepy. Other men do not talk to women that way. It was very entitled. It was very controlling. You didn't respect boundaries when I asked you to stop. You didn't respect boundaries when I explained that I wasn't obligated to do this with you. You didn't respect boundaries when I left and you tried to convince them that I had done something wrong. You didn't respect boundaries when I came back in and Simon was upset because you were talking loudly and people were ignoring his needs. You didn't care when I told you, Simon is upset right now. We need to stop this so that we can tend to the children's needs. I'd like you to go now.
I
had to tell Kevin, I'm going to, I had to say again. I know, but you were doing something in front of them that was upsetting to them. You were speaking in a very threatening, very ugly, very shaming tone of voice. And you were being asked to stop. And I said, if the next thing that comes out of your mouth is going to be to somehow blame me or shame me, then I'm going to have to ask you to go. And you did it again. And I said that was just blaming and shaming. You're doing it in front of Simon. Simon's getting upset. I just told you if you did it again, you're going to have to go. If it happens again, I'm going to have to ask Kevin to back me up. Because at that point, I'd already asked you to leave. And then you did it again. You opened your mouth to try to make me look bad and blame me and shame me for not speaking to you. This is all because you think that you are entitled to me talking to you. And newsflash, you're not, Dustin. You're not entitled. I'm an adult. And if I'm not comfortable because I've been abused by you, if I'm not comfortable talking to you because of how...
Nobody thinks that I'm entitled to you talking to me.
You did. You were asked to leave the law residence.
I did leave.
And you decided to make an argument. No, you didn't. You stood right there and you didn't even move a foot. You stood right there and you tried to make an argument again for why what I was doing was wrong. Because I couldn't enroll your kids in public school without having a conversation first. And Brianna told you, if
you, think that
you have
right?
a problem, then you can, huh? You were making an argument that I had to talk to you. You were. After you'd already been asked to physically vacate a premises
write it,
that
Aaron,
does not.
You don't have to talk to me. It's just, they're my children too.
I know. I remember the whole how the whole thing went down, and I'm glad that you're using a nice tone of voice about it today. But we can't, like, take the tone of voice that you're using today and go back in time and superimpose it. You were being extremely aggressive, and it's a way that you've gotten away with speaking to me for a long time, and it gets results with me because it's so awful, and it's so degrading, and it's so humiliating. I would do anything to avoid it, including cowering to whatever your will is at the moment. And you don't even have to say what your will is. I can pivot around until I figure out what calms you down and decide that that's how I need to behave, like a good girl. It's how you operate, and it's a deeply ingrained pattern, and it's a little bit creepy that you can look back at the creepiness that you did in front of Kevin and Brianna at their house when you had been asked to vacate the premises. And you can think that it's a good idea to tell me that that was good behavior on your part. Brianna said that she went outside and she asked you to leave, and she said it was making her really uncomfortable that you were still there after you'd been asked to leave.
I left the house. Kevin came out and talked with me willingly, and she came out and asked him to ask me to leave, and I did.
So, no, you turned to Kevin and you said, I was under the impression this was your house too, dude.
Yeah, he was there willingly talking to me.
That's pretty disrespectful.
He was trying to characterize it like I wasn't welcome there when we were having an amicable conversation. So,
yeah, but you knew it was her property too, and she's a female, and she was uncomfortable. Most men would stop and they
left.
Would go, ooh. No, you turned to Kevin and you said, I was under the impression it was your property too, dude. Like you weren't going to listen to
I don't remember saying that,
who's uncomfortable
yeah, we
with
were
your
talking
presence.
To each other outside.
I know, but most men would look at a woman and say, ooh, my presence is making her uncomfortable. They would, like, have a drive to protect women from feeling like that. Particularly when it's that woman's private property. They wouldn't say, oh, it takes a man with big muscles to tell me to leave. Like, Brianna is a woman, and that is her home, and she was uncomfortable, and she asked you to leave. You were being really aggressive, and you were being really shaming with your words. And you weren't being respectful when one woman asked you to go, and then you weren't being respectful when another woman asked you to go. But this is, like, part of a really long pattern. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, the first. You know what I mean? The first after we split up. But that following week, I moved here into our house, and I asked you to leave, and you wouldn't leave. I asked you to leave. You still wouldn't leave. I asked you to leave. You were making excuses.
About?
I'm gonna help Sam get his coat off. I've got to help Sam get his shoes off. You know that I know how to take a child's coat off. You know that I know how to take a child's shoes off. You know that you had a message from me on Halloween. You know that you had a message from me saying that I was fearful of being in this house because you just proved that you're not willing to vacate a premises when you're making people uncomfortable and they've asked you to leave. You had just proven that at the law's house, and that's the reason that I didn't move back in here when you moved to the McDonald's. You knew that. You knew that that was why this house sat vacant while you were living at the McDonald's is because I was scared to be here, because if I was here and I asked you to leave, I couldn't call the police or the sheriff and ask them to remove you. At least at the laws, I could do that because I had the actual property owner and you weren't one of them. But I asked you to leave and you wouldn't leave. And you said to me, I can sleep here tonight if I want to. You said, I can sleep here tonight if I want to, knowing that I was uncomfortable, knowing that I'd asked you to leave, knowing that I was scared to live in a house where you weren't going to leave when you were asked to. These are all, like, predatory behaviors.
Are you worried that I'm going to sneak into our house? I don't understand this.
No, I'm worried that when you're standing there and I'm asking you to leave, you're going to stand there and say, I don't have to leave here. In front of our children, do you understand how psychologically damaging it is for them to have to hear that? Do you understand, like, how male predatory that is? To know that a woman is scared of you. And her to express that and you not behave in ways that are respectful of that and make her feel safe.
I'm sorry that I've ever made you feel unsafe.
I'm sure you are now. But you weren't any of the times it was working for you. You weren't any of the times I was walking on the eggshells. You weren't any of the times that I was careful what I said to you. You weren't any of the times that I didn't bring up some thing that you were doing that was really making our life hell. It's always worked for you.
Talk to the care providers here so that I can get
Dustin
help.
You know that no, you're going to stop this blame shifting, okay? This is not my fault. I know what the behaviors are. You know what the behaviors are. You know that I've left voicemails. And you know that they don't have time to talk to me, and you know that when I reach out to them, it makes me look as though I'm trying to frame you for something. Like, you need to stop interrupting the actual substance of what you need to change in your behaviors to try to tell me it's my fault that I'm not talking to your care providers. That's not a real thing. You know that there were boundaries there, and you know that you crossed them intentionally, and you know that you were trying to assert your right to do so.
I think that if I hadn't addressed what happened with our children in the school, that I would be a terrible father.
But that wasn't the right way to go about it, Dustin. To speak to your wife as though she needs to be ashamed of herself, to raise your voice at her,
never raised
that wasn't the right. The right way to go about it would be to send me a message in Our Family Wizard.
That was
that
the
says,
way you gave me Our Family Wizard. I hadn't had Our Family Wizard.
I know, but that would be the right way to go about it. Or if you wanted to sit down at
I
the
didn't
table,
have Our Family
to say,
Wizard.
If you sit down at the table, the thing to say would be to say, "So who is Lucy's teacher?"
That doesn't address the fact that...
Oh, is she nice? You didn't need to shame me for doing it without your permission. They're your children, too. You had every right to enroll them in public school.
Aaron.
I didn't do anything wrong. If I had done something wrong, you could have me arrested for it. I didn't. There's nobody I've ever told that to who says you did something wrong.
I didn't say you did something illegal, Aaron.
I know. So you didn't need to shame me for it. You didn't need to sit down and say,
"Yeah,
I have a right to
not
know
illegal."
Does
that mean it's right? Just because it's legal for you to divorce me doesn't mean it's right. It's not right to take my children and make a life-changing decision with them without even consulting me. That's not right.
Dustin, what's not right is to be verbally and emotionally and psychologically abusive to your family. And that's what was happening when I spoke to you. So if I was avoiding speaking to you, then I was doing a good and righteous thing. You want to blame people's reactions to your abuse, like that's the problem. That's just what happens when you verbally abuse people. It's a good thing for them to respond by not wanting to talk to you anymore. Because if they don't, evidently, it just gets worse and worse and worse for 18 years. And today, you somehow think that what you did at Kevin and Brianna's house was good. Father of the year. Okay, awesome. But, like, are you still able to hold on to the reality that you hunted me down in the church hallway when the sermon started? Can you just access that directly now that you've reached it?
I mean, I know what happened in the church hallway. You say that I
yeah,
hunted
but can
you,
you
down. You make it sound like I accosted you or something. I saw
yeah,
you in
you
our
did.
Hallway and I asked you.
No, you didn't see me in the hallway. You waited till the one time that you could get. Whoa. So you've reverted. You've gone back into La La Land.
That's not kind.
No, it's true, Dustin. It was really good for you to come out of that. No, it is delusional to think that you happened to see me in the hallway and ask me a simple question.
No, I followed you into the hallway.
I know, but you had to plan for a time that you would be able to get me. You couldn't just talk to me after the service. You couldn't just talk to me before the service. You couldn't just call me on the phone. You couldn't just drop by my house. Like, you had to strategize like a predator how to stand in the doorway of the nursery so that I couldn't get back to my seat to hear the sermon without you having a chance.
Stand in the doorway of the nursery. I was in the hallway. But I'm sorry that I talked to you at church.
But do you know that the way that you talked to me, the tone of voice that you used, was extremely threatening? It was extremely accusatory. It was extremely shaming. It was extremely scary.
I didn't accuse you of anything, Erin. I asked you
That's
why there was
true.
A man in our kitchen.
Yeah.
What did I accuse you of?
So I drove by our house yesterday because I was thinking there was a chance you wouldn't be home. But you were home.
To get my shovel
and
or pitchfork.
I'm quoting you. You did not say to get my shovel. I'm quoting you so that you can understand the words you said.
My pitchfork.
No, you didn't say my pitchfork.
Yes, I did, honey.
And I don't know why it's changing from a shovel to a pitchfork, but that's beside the point. You're just trying to change the subject.
It wasn't a shovel. It was a pitchfork. I went to get my pitchfork.
I don't know why.
You might not be home, but you were.
Dustin, you're changing it. Dustin, you shouldn't have to change it. You shouldn't have to interrupt me telling you what. Yes, you are.
You
shouldn't have to interrupt me telling you what you actually said to change it to make you look like it was some innocent, casual conversation that could have just happened casually.
I want to interrupt you.
Sitting on the row of church when church ended. Like, you're trying to make it sound so super cash. Like, you understand you had to get me alone to say, so. I went by her house yesterday because I thought there was a chance you wouldn't be home and I could get my tool. But you were home. And so was a man in our kitchen. Do you want to tell me who that was? And when I went to tell Allison, you stalked me. You know that I looked scared in the hallway.
It's a one-way hallway, and I let you pass.
You know, I know, but you saw my face. You saw my face, and you knew that you had me. You saw my face.
Had you?
I wasn't. Yeah, you knew I was scared.
Had you what?
Had me wanting to flee. You saw that I wanted to flee from you. It's a face you've seen plenty of times. You're well familiar with it. When I want to flee from you, you know that you've got me right where you want me. You saw my face. You knew that I was uncomfortable. You knew I didn't want to be in the hallway talking to you. You knew that I wanted to get away. You knew that when I whispered to Allison what had happened, you were behind me and you were saying that he drove a white truck, who had a white truck. And then you know that you said, you don't have to tell me. I'm willing to spend money to find out. And then you know that you continued to stand there as if you had some right to it. And it wasn't until I took Brendan's seat that you finally walked away and took my seat back on the second row. You know all of these things. Like, you don't need me to explain to you. And you understand, I'm only telling you about the scenarios that other people have witnessed. The fact that this kind of predatory behavior has been happening to me behind closed doors all the time, on the phone all the time, that I live my life with somebody who controls me through really, really, really threatening tones and accusatory tones and ways of twisting situations around to make it that I did something shameful and not right, even if it's illegal. And the fact that I can't say any of that without you saying
it was not right.
What? Saying the truth isn't abuse. It's abusive to ask a question? It's abusive to, okay, so now asking a question is abuse. Okay. Like that, that's the level of me being able to have any right to not be treated that way has been. So now I can only tell you about the times that people have witnessed, because that's the only place where I have a leg to stand on is, okay, somebody else saw this. But it was only drawn into the light because I set up those communication barriers in the first place. The only reason the laws were able to see it was because I moved into their house and refused to be alone with you. The only reason Kate was able to see it was because before and after the service, people were actually looking out for me.
I'm sorry that I made you feel so scared.
Yeah, but you think I did something wrong. You think that you have some kind of right to it.
Right to what?
You had a right to come
right
and
to
berate me for enrolling our kids in public school.
Children. Before.
Right, but a normal man way of like imagine CA coming to ask Janie why she enrolled the kids in public school. Just, like, actually try to play that out in your brain.
Janie would not enroll her kids in public school without asking CA.
Janie does all kinds of things. And CA's never abused his wife and given her a reason to have to try to avoid communication with him.
I've done a lot of work here.
But there's plenty of...
And...
but none of it's let you come around.
I was not a good leader to you, and I have been
those are all just distractions from the real abuse. You can imagine that it was because you weren't home enough. Well, guess what? You being home would have been my worst nightmare. You know what I mean?
Again.
You're coming up with this long list of stuff that I'm supposed to pretend is what the problem was. But the way you talked to me in front of Kevin Brianna was not okay. And Kevin has never, never talked to Brianna that way once. And they've been together almost as long as we have. Never. And you do it like three times a week.
Asked her.
You didn't have some kind of excuse for doing that. You're just trying to control me through shame. That's emotional manipulation. You're choosing to try to make me feel bad in order to get me to do what you want. And at that time, what you wanted was unlimited access to communication with me because you felt entitled to it. Because you're the children's father. In reality, if you had a question about their education...
I asked you for unlimited communication. I don't...
Yeah, but you had a right to it. You felt entitled to it.
I know
without
my children.
Without taking... I know, so you can say. Tell me about the children.
That's what I said.
Whose class... No, you didn't. You walked in and you said you never should have made that decision without consulting me. Are we going to discuss this? What were your... justifications for making a major change without consulting me. That I'm saying that is not a way CA would talk to Janie. And no, you can't pretend that she's never done something without his consent that he didn't agree with. You can't. You can't. And if she was specifically not telling him because she felt like he had been verbally abusive to her, well, guess what? He wouldn't have gone out of his way to be extra forceful with his words to prove that she had no right to withhold her communication from him and accuse him of being verbally abusive. He would actually be extra gentle because he would recognize that it's his responsibility to make sure his wife never feels like he's trying to harm her emotionally in order to get his way.
I will try to be extra gentle with you.
You didn't. You didn't. You decided that it was your right, and I had done something shameful and wrong, and it was your job was to come and set the record straight that I had no right to be doing things without your consent. And then when we tried to say, okay, what is your question? What is it that you need to know about the children's education? You said, it's not even about that. It's about the principal. She should talk to me. Like that's
before making a major change to her.
I'm sorry. This
point
is. I'm sorry. I did nothing wrong, and you should be saying nothing to me right now except, "Well done, amazing mama." I'm so glad that God has blessed me with a woman who I can trust is going to make the right decisions for our children's education. Even when I'm abusing her. I'm really blessed.
You are a big blessing to me and our children.
That's all you needed to say. That's all you needed to say. That's all that needed to be said. You didn't have any actual concerns about our children's education. I hadn't actually done anything wrong. I'd done nothing wrong. You had every bit as much right to go and check the kids out of school and start homeschooling them yourself as I had to go and check them in and sign them up in the first place. I did nothing wrong. And you shouldn't be trying to control me through shame and blame and those kinds of manipulation tactics. I wasn't speaking to you because you had been so emotionally abusive to me. And that is something that you should fully support. Any woman you see being mistreated like that by her husband on a consistent basis after she's begged and pleaded and begged and pleaded and gotten other people to come in and beg and plead with him to stop the abuse. Like, you should be the one encouraging her to set those boundaries. You should be the one trying to help her find ways to not be getting harmed like that. And not only every woman in the world should you be protecting from that kind of harm as a chivalrous man, but there's one woman in particular that you've been assigned to protect from being mistreated like that. And you should be the first person raising your hand to say, I think that she should not talk to me until she can be treated right because that's what she deserves.
That's absolutely what I believe in.
No, you believe that I did something wrong and I deserve to be shamed for it because someone needed to put me in my place, that I had no right to enroll your children in school. That's completely different.
You don't have a right to enroll my children in school. I said that we should discuss what happens with our children before we decide.
And right now you should say that that is not the case. Right now you should be able to look back and go, we shouldn't have been discussing anything. It was a reasonable communication boundary within that context for us to not be discussing things.
It wasn't until after that that you said that we couldn't communicate anyway.
That's not true. I told you that we couldn't. No, I told you we couldn't communicate.
Over there.
I told you that we couldn't communicate without a third party present prior to Kevin and Brianna getting back from the Keys. So that had already been set. I know you walked in because the third party was present, but you were trying to shame me for having put the kids in school without talking to you first. And I'm saying the reason I didn't talk to you first was because I couldn't talk to you because you were so awful to me. You had been being awful to me, and other people saw you being awful to me. And it had been going on for a really long time, and you were not repentant. And you were not indicating that you had some kind of intention of exploring what this problem was with you being emotionally abusive to your wife. You were claiming that you had every right to do everything you were doing, and that everything you were doing was fine, and that I needed to live with it. That was what was being indicated at that time. And that being the case, you should fully support me caring for our children in whatever way is best without exposing myself to abuse. You should not be saying that I did something wrong by doing what was best for our children and at the same time choosing not to subject myself to emotional abuse.
I didn't realize it was so late. I gotta go turn in my phone.
Oh.
All
right. So
I will keep working on myself for forever until I am like Jesus. That's all I know to offer you.
Okay. All right. Well, set free is definitely off the table, though.
I will mention it to them here, but you want me to quit my job?
If you tell them my wife wants
me
to go.
You want me to quit my job and go live at set free? That's going to be more expensive than me living in a house. I really do have to go. I'm sorry. I'll try and call you again in the morning.
Yeah. It just seems to me like if you were doing something like that, then you'd obviously be actually working on changing the patterns of abuse. And we could, like, you know, get our parents to pay off the credit card debt and just pay them from now on. And, like, from the beginning, I mean, you know, when you got home from Cape Cod, our church said that they would support us financially.
I don't know that that's still on the table, and I don't know. I can't really talk about it more right now. But
okay.
I love you.
Okay.
I'm committed to you forever. And then I'm sorry that I've ever hurt you. Sorry.
Well, the denial is a big problem at this point. Actually, at every point, the denial is a big problem.
I'm sorry. I gotta go. I love you.
All right. Bye.